If you didn't get an outline, if you just raise your hand, Chuck will make sure you get one. That'd be great. We're talking about New Covenant ministry this morning, taking every thought captive. If you have your Bible, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to begin our message this morning by reading a couple verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, which is where we get the title from. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, Paul tells us where our real battle is, where our real struggle is, and it's a battle for our thought life. It's a battle for the mind. 2 Corinthians, I'll be in chapter 4, but I want to read chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 to you. Paul says this, and they're all key verses here. For the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. You know what a stronghold is, don't you? Just something that just gets a hold of you and you can't get loose. But Paul tells us how to deal with this. He says this in verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And here it is, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul said before, he said, we have the mind of Christ. The battle is for the mind, taking every thought captive. And so we want to look at chapter 4 this morning. Winter 2026 has been very challenging so far. Uncle Artie told me this morning, this is the coldest year he can remember. That's pretty cold, all right? And so new flu season is here. We make our plans, but God's in control. In fact, I read this morning from Psalm 31, verse 15. This is great. The psalmist said, my times are in your hand. In other words, God's in control. God's in control. And so this morning, we're looking at, I believe, a most wonderful and spiritually potent book of the New Testament, as well as chapter in chapter 4. So what I want to do with you this morning is, rather than review, I want to survey kind of the whole chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then I want to come back and do a deeper dive into verse 7 into 18. In fact, I'm planning on doing a whole session on verse 7 alone. There is so much here, and we just go so fast sometimes and we miss it. So I'm enjoying this. So much gold here. So let's jump in a little bit. Roman numeral 1, let me point out an ongoing tendency or temptation, and maybe you're going through this morning, I don't know, but the ongoing tendency or temptation according to 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1 and 16 is to lose heart, to become discouraged. Paul says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We will not become discouraged. Verse 16 is sort of a bracket section here. He says, so we do not lose heart. That's the purpose as we serve the Lord. What is losing heart? We mentioned this a little bit last time. Losing heart means wanting to give up, losing all drive, losing our motivation, becoming lethargic, maybe depressed, discouraged, anxious. Popular phrase being thrown around today in Christian circles is deconstruct. There are those just so discouraged, they're just walking away from the faith. Ongoing suffering, conflict, criticism, sin, just life in general. And let me remind you, and Paul understood this, and this is a spiritual warfare book. Paul understood that discouragement is one powerful tool Satan loves to use. You know that, don't you? He uses doubt. He uses discouragement. You probably know some. I know some first-class missionaries. I think they're all first-class. Gifted, talented, effective, left the field. Why? Discouragement. Discouragement settles in. I've talked to pastors, good ministries, quit. Why? They got discouraged. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Spouses check out. Good people, good Christian people, quit going to church. And so many of them never come back. Why? Discouraged. Something happened. Maybe just one thing. And you walk away. Young people are dropping out of college and careers because they're just discouraged. And so I think 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first there's only 18 verses. Paul's going to provide us with some very helpful principles that helped him to keep going. This is his focus. This is what he was thinking about. It'll help us as well if we pay close attention and put these into practice. You're going to see his passion coming out here. And if you're taking notes with us, Roman numeral 2, here it is. I want to attempt, and we may not get through it, we may. I want to give you, going through chapter 4, 12, it started off as 8, 12 preventive principles. This is the intentional fight. This is the intentional fight to help us keep going and not give up, okay? 12 preventive principles, and we'll see how many we can cover. And I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. All the answers are here for you. So if I go too fast or if you can't write it down on time, they're all here, all right, for you. I was listening to a sermon the other day on Psalm 23. I was told to watch this online, great preacher, and I was frustrated because I had to keep stopping it and writing things down. I'm thinking, I must drive you guys crazy at times, so there it is. And this is a secret you don't all know. What we do every week is I send Tim a copy of the blank outline, I send Tim a copy of the answers, and I give him everything I have, and he straightens it out and projects it for you. Okay, it's amazing the miracle he could do with what I send him, and it's just wonderful. We appreciate him so much. And anyhow, all right, let's see how much we can cover. All right, number one, Paul says, the Bible says, we keep going. We will not become discouraged because God has shown us mercy. We keep going, number one, because God has shown us mercy. Verse 1, therefore having this ministry, here it is, by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. God has been so kind to us, undeserving as we are. I just heard Pastor H.B. Charles say, things are going well for us. You ever feel things aren't going well? I often feel that way. But you know what? Things are really going well for us. They really are. And he says, things are going well for us because we have a good shepherd. Isn't that true? That's true. So true. And he was teaching on the 23rd Psalm. God has been immeasurably kind to us. He saved us, and not only has he saved us by his mercy and grace, he's given us opportunities all around us to represent Christ. And for Paul, being given the high privilege of serving in a life-saving, new covenant, glory-revealing, character-transforming minister of the Holy Spirit was enough. That was enough. He says, we keep going. We keep going because God has shown you mercy. Our ministry, our life comes from him, and that's where our focus needs to be. I'm really looking forward to hearing Buck's testimony. Again, you want to be here for that. You're not going to hear that anyplace else. This is a once-in-a-lifetime type of, you know, he went down to, well, I don't want to give the story away. It is just, I get nervous every time I hear the story because I'm thinking all the doctors and needles and all that. I hate pinpricks. And to see him, and it's going to happen in a couple months. He'll be out there with his lawn boy mowing his lawn by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God. God's been so good, we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. We love testimonies, right? We keep going because God has shown us mercy. Number two, we keep going. Paul tells us we're not going to give up because integrity is always worth the effort. Integrity is always worth the effort. Look at verse 2. Paul says, they're accusing him of all kinds of things. The false teachers were coming into the church, and the Corinthian church is starting to believe this thing, and he makes it very, very clear. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to become discouraged because integrity is very, very important. And that's a whole lesson in and of itself. He says, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We are going to maintain integrity. It is always worth it. It is always worth the fight, never to cut corners. That's transparency, integrity, and it is a choice. It is a choice. I don't know if I mentioned that up here or not, but several weeks ago now, I was talking to Dr. Marshall Langotti in the lobby here, and he was telling me that when you start your practice as a dentist, one of the first decisions you have to make is to practice integrity no matter what. That's a decision. You have to start it. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, you don't know if your dentist is telling you the truth or not, do you? When you sit in that chair, and I'm starting to feel sick just thinking about it. Yeah. Are you feeling that? Yeah, yeah. I took my wife to a different dentist the other day, and just walking in, it just kind of, let me out of here, just kind of, whoa. You don't know, do you? You don't know. When the dentist says, well, you need this, and this is going to cost you, you better take out a loan, you know? You don't know. You can't go home and, we can try, but you... Marshall said, you have to decide day one, you're going to practice integrity and be honest, no matter what. And I think most professions out there are like that. Integrity is so important. And for Paul, and I'm so thankful that he made that commitment years ago, right? For Paul, the goal here is the open statement of the truth. He's going to tell the truth. You can accuse him of whatever you want to accuse him of. He's going to have the open statement of the truth. He's going to fight for integrity. In Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul talks about the purpose of the church and gifts, he says this, and I'm going to read 14 through 16. I think I gave Tim 15 and 16, but Ephesians chapter 4, 14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. See the integrity in the manner? Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Open integrity. That's a commitment. That's a commitment. That commitment will keep you from drifting. It will keep you from compromise. Years ago, everything's years ago, isn't it? Years ago, we were up at Word of Life, Scroon Lake, at the time, the Cadillac of Camps. We were at the Word of Life Inn. And one of the things I really enjoyed those days about going up to Word of Life was they had a song leader. They had a host by the name of Don Locke, and he was just phenomenal. He could play the trumpet like no one else. I was around. He was just a fun guy. I just wanted to watch him give announcements. It was so fun. And we were talking one day, and it was an era of the church when high-profile pastors were falling into immorality. It was just being talked about. Some high-profile men. And Don Locke said to me, he said, you know, my son Don Jr. came to me all discouraged. Said, Dad, I don't know what to do. All these men who we had at Word of Life, not all of them, but a lot of the great men are falling into sin. What are we going to do? We can't trust anyone. And, you know, and Don said to me, Don Sr. said to me, he said, I said to my son, Don, look at me. Look at me. I'm going to be that model of integrity. I thought that was great. Look at me. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to love your mother. I'm going to stay pure. And Don Locke went to be with the Lord, a man of integrity. That's what we need, right? Just we're going to fight for integrity. We're going to fight for morality. We keep going. We keep going because integrity, as hard as it is, as hard as the battle may be, it is always worth it. It is always worth it. Paul says, we keep going because we know that the fight is going to be hard. We keep going because we know the fight is going to be hard. We're not on vacation. We're not in heaven yet. This is not the Magic Kingdom, okay? It's going to be difficult. Verse 3 and 4, Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, and it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, and this is fascinating, I think this is the only time Satan is called this in the New Testament, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unseen supernatural enemy. How many believe this morning that Satan hates you? Satan hates you. Absolutely hates you. He hates your marriage. He hates your church. He hates Jesus. And I don't know, you know, the more you study this, the more you just kind of wonder. I don't understand. What did Satan say to the Lord Jesus when he was soliciting him in the wilderness? What did he want Jesus to do? He didn't take a good theology class. Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer of the universe. All right? Go back to Genesis 1. Jesus is there creating. Hebrews tells us that. And yet Satan comes along and says, if you'll bow down and worship me, what does this guy think he is? But he hates you. He hates me. Verse 4, I think is the only place where the Greek word for God is applied to Satan, God of this world. He prevents light from getting through. I don't understand why God allows that to happen, but God is all sovereign, and right now he's allowing Satan to have his way. When I was at Dallas Seminary, our president at the time, Dr. John Walvoord, used to tell us in chapel several times, he'd say, men, he said, if you don't have problems in your life, you're not doing something right. That made us feel good. If everything's going right in the life, we're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. Because the fight is going to be hard. What else is new? What else is new? We keep going because we know the battle is hard. We know it's hard. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of that. They did that for you in the Marines, didn't they? Yeah, you're not joining a kindergarten class. This is the real thing. Number 4, Paul says, we keep going. We keep going. We're not going to allow ourselves to get discouraged because it's not about you. It is not about you. Verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves. Paul was not to tell the church how great they were and wonderful apostles and on it goes. He says, but we proclaim, what do they proclaim? What are they proclaiming? Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus Christ as Lord. The great reformer John Calvin said, the man who wishes to preach only Christ must forget himself. That's good. The Corinthians, like many of us, were impressed by well-educated orators in that day. We're impressed often by Christian celebrities. And I was saying this to my wife about a week or so ago. You know, sometimes we end up saying we believe something because one of our favorite Bible teachers believes it. That's interesting. Jesus Christ as Lord, it's not about you. He is God. As we mentioned, he has supremacy over all things now. He has triumphed over death. We're celebrating that this morning. He's all powerful through his death, resurrection, and ascension. All people will be accountable to him. And when we place our faith in Christ and we grow in grace, it means we need to repudiate all other allegiances. And the basic step in a lifetime of gospel ministries is to get over ourselves. It's not us. It's not people. It's Christ. And Christ alone. And one of the attributes of God, if you study the attributes of God, and many of you have, God is a jealous God. He's not going to take second place. He's not going to take second place. We keep going because it's not about us. is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five. And these are repetitions at times. Number five, we keep going because, and this is where we have to keep focused, glory alone belongs to Christ. We keep going because the glory alone belongs to Christ. I should reword that, but I won't. Verse 6. For God who said, going back to creation, going back to Genesis 1, verse 3, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts, that's the power of the gospel, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, giving him glory, seeing and savoring Christ. One of the main reasons, and maybe there's more than one main reason, but one of the main reasons that the writing ministry and the speaking ministry of John Piper is so well received is because that is what he's, I think he just turned 80 or something like that. That is what he's dedicated his life to, seeing and savoring the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, passion for Christ. We keep going because he is worthy. This is where it gets interesting, number six. And I'm going to mention this morning, and I want to come back and do a little more digging on this one. And I'll encourage you to read this during the week. We keep going, Paul says, whether we like this one or not. We keep going because your weakness, my weakness, is part of God's strategy. Your weakness is part of God's strategy. It's a paradox. Doesn't make sense. And maybe we should say our weaknesses, since we have many. We have many. And verse 7 is a Super Bowl verse. And I don't know anything about the Super Bowl, but anyhow, it's a Super Bowl verse. And we want to come back here. But he says this, look, he says, we have this treasure in what? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We'll talk more about this, but the jars of clay is sort of like maybe today a paper cup that we just throw out. Or maybe if you shop at Wise, where I go at times, it's one of those cheap plastic bags that if you put too many groceries in, what happens? Breakable, disposable, fragile, and the point, and we'll talk about this again, Lord willing, the point is to show that the power belongs to God, not to us, not to us. And our weakness is part of God's strategy to display his glory to a watching world. God is not impressed with power and prestige and politics and all these things that we're impressed with. He's impressed with weak people who understand who they are. I want to fast forward, and I'm going to bypass these verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, well, Paul will illustrate this. And I know this is going ahead a little bit, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where Paul says, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. We haven't grasped that. We get all excited about powerful Christians and famous Christians and thank the Lord for them. But Paul says God's power is perfected in human weakness. Paul says, therefore, I will boast more gladly of my weaknesses. How about that? Next time you have a testimony time, Brian, maybe you ought to have people say, hey, let's talk about our weaknesses. That's what Paul's doing. Why? So that God would get the glory. He says here, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. What's he saying? Paul's saying, bring them on. I'm not ready to say that. Paul says, bring them on. Bring them on. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Amen. It's a paradox. Doesn't make sense. It's a kingdom principle. Our weaknesses are part of God's strategy to display his glory to a watching world, whether we see the results or not. We want results. We want to be obedient. We'll come back to that. This is a little redundant, but number seven, we keep going. Number seven, we keep going. Paul tells us again, because it will be tough to keep on going, and that's okay. It will be tough to keep on going. Chapter 4, verse 13, he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, so I spoke. We also believe, so we speak. What's he quotes Psalm 116, verse 10, where the psalmist makes it clear that suffering is real, opposition is real, and Paul reminds us that every time he picks up his Bible, it reminds him that he can expect to suffer as he serves the Lord. And having this realistic, biblical expectation is a great help when it comes to keep on going. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to his disciples, he says, in this world you will have what? Tribulation, trouble. But he said, but be encouraged, I've overcome the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. Let me jump to 8 because it's a little more encouraging. Here's some great news. Paul said, the Bible says, we keep going no matter what. We keep going. We will not be discouraged because, verse 14 says, if you're in Christ, you will be raised with Christ. We keep going because you will be raised with Christ. Verse 14 ought to be, all these verses ought to be underlined, but verse 14 ought to be circled. Knowing that he, God, the Father, who raised the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. What's he telling us here? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything. It changes everything, whether you feel like it or not. Listen to some of these words here, and I'm going to read some words here from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39, based on resurrection. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised. Who is at God's right hand, who indeed is interceding for us. Resurrection, ascension. The Bible says right now Jesus is praying for us. And then he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And he talks about that. And the bottom line, the answer is absolutely no one, nothing. We often read these verses at a graveside and are always appropriate. When Paul gets done in 1 Corinthians 15, just having an amazing apologetic for the resurrection and the hope we have in Christ. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. At the end of the chapter, he says this, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You will be raised with Christ one day. And I don't understand a lot of this, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Was Jesus Christ God before the resurrection? Yes or no? Yes. Was he? Well, all the questions are going to be yes. Roberta and I used to go back and forth on this. Bye, Miss Roberta. But something happened at the resurrection. Something happened even more powerful. Even more powerful, if that's possible, and it is. You keep going because you will be raised with Christ. Andre Crouch, I love his music. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going see the King. That's our great hope. That's our great hope. And if your faith is in Christ Jesus, I trust it is, that's your hope as well. You will be raised. And if we grasp the resurrection, nothing really matters, does it? Paul's going to tell us that at the end of the chapter. Number nine. We can do this. We keep on going because God works for your good and His glory. We keep going no matter what we have to go through. And it's not an easy road. You keep going because God works for your good and His glory at the same time. This is good stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me get back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For it is for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more, that's more people are going to hear the gospel, Mike, okay? More people are going to get saved. More people are going to be supernaturally transformed. As that happens, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You see that? Our good, more thanksgiving, more glory for God. We keep going because God's going to work. More and more people are going to come to Christ, bringing us joy and fulfillment. God will be further glorified. And my note here to you is keep on investing in missions. Keep on investing in missions. We're so great. When our financial guys and ladies make up the budget every year, and they are, I don't have the word, they're just wonderful at the way they do that. They look at what we're doing and what we need, and they always have an increase for missions. Always. They think that's so important, and we want to give more. And they just said, you know, we have more. And so I was able to email the guy in front of, his name is Lonnie, in front of Frontline Missions. He was in Thailand at the time. I said, you know, our church agreed to pick up Carrie. It's not much. She needs a boatload of money, and we're giving her. And he wrote back and said, don't undermine. Don't be discouraged by what. Just open up the gates. God will honor that. God will bless us. Just keep investing in missions. Keep doing that. And I appreciate you folks for doing that. Our missionaries are important. Keep praying for them. Keep encouraging them. Text them. In fact, it's warmer in Alaska right now. Dennis is laughing at us. Hey, man, a snowstorm's coming. He thinks that's great. Oh, boy, keep investing in missions. Keep investing. We got some great folks out there serving the Lord and working hard. They're working diligently. And, you know, we sure love and appreciate them. We keep going because God works for our good and His glory. And one day we'll see that. Number 10, we keep going because real transformation is on the inside. Real transformation is on the inside. Verse 16. This may be some of your life's verse. I don't know. Verse 16. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is what? What's your outer self? There you are. Our inner self, that's your spiritual self, your soul spirit, is being transformed, is being renewed day by day. You take that by faith. You take that by faith. You can see and you can feel the outer self wasting away. Can you not? How do you feel your outer self wasting away? Let's hear it. How do you feel? Yes, sir. How do you? Okay, you don't want to tell me. Aches and pains, chronic pain. You listen to the advertisements on the radio all the time. They want to sell you everything that's going to. No, it won't. They're just going to sell you stuff. Chronic pain, slower nobility. Anyone ever forget anything? I'm bringing. What's that?
What was the question?
That's the question. I used to come to the podium with a page and a half of notes. I have 6-7 pages now because I don't want to forget. I know I'm going to forget it, right? We put dimmer light bulbs by the bathroom mirror because we don't want to see. Yikes! I put all those bulbs on. Ooh, who's that? You know? Oh my goodness! But the Bible says the good news is, Inner renewal transformation is happening. And we may not see the inner renewal or transformation, but it will be seen by others for the glory of God. That's so important. That's so important. 2 Corinthians, we read this a couple weeks ago now, but verse 3:18, we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, we do that in the Word of God, are being transformed. It's an ongoing process. We may be fading physically, but we're being transformed spiritually into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Real transformation is happening on the inside. And when you combine that with future resurrection hope, it should encourage us. Number 11. I guess we'll get through these. Number 11. We keep going. Paul tells us, because the comparison is worth it. We keep going because the comparison is worth it. Verse 17. All the suffering. And he was going through a boatload of suffering. Several years ago now, Brian had lent me a DVD about the life of the Apostle Paul. Remember the sufferings in the dungeon, and it's just unbelievable what Christ's choice apostle had to go through. Just words that can't describe the pain, the suffering, and all the Christians abandoned him. The churches he planted, the people he poured out his life for wanted nothing to do with him. He died just with one or two companions. It says this in verse 17, for this, he calls it light momentary affliction. It hurts, Paul. Yeah, it hurts. But look at the comparison. Look at the comparison. Look at the big picture. And this is why we need the Word of God, because apart from the Word of God, we'll get discouraged here. We'll go off rails. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. How does he describe it? How does he describe it? Beyond what? All comparison. You can't even compare it. We keep going because the comparison is worth it compared to what lies ahead. I talk about childbirth, but I don't know about anything about that pain, so I'll skip that one and go to number 12. I'll get in trouble. Number 12. Number 12. The pain was worth it, right? Number 12, verse 18. And this is great. Paul says, you keep on going. You refuse to be discouraged no matter what's going on out there. And that's why the church needs to get together to encourage one another, because if you're by yourself, it's really easy to get discouraged. You keep going. Verse 18 tells us, as you use your kingdom glasses. As you use your kingdom glasses. Verse 18. And this takes concentration. This takes concentration. Focus. As we look not to the things that are what? Seen. Not what we can see with our eyes. But to the things that are unseen, heavenly, described in the Word of God by faith. For the things that are seen are transient. They're going to pass away. They're momentary. But the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. Eternal. That's looking by faith in God's Word. When I was a little boy, my dad, we had five kids in the family. We all got in the car, and we drove down to Florida, and that's a trip in of itself. Because my dad, did you have a dad that, you know, was going to see if there's another motel? You know, maybe there's another one, and there's another one, there's another one, and oh, boy, there's stories there. But we got to Florida, finally, and he took us once to Cypress Garden. You remember Cypress Garden? I was studying the history of Cypress Garden, the glass-bottom boat. And you get in this rickety boat, and it's all the jungle, and you get in this glass-bottom boat, and you see a whole different world. We wanted to do something special for our youngest daughter, Emily, several years ago for her graduation from high school. So we did some research. We researched it. We got a great deal to go to Mexico for an all-inclusive for a couple days, and it was a great time, but One of the things they wanted to do when they got to Mexico, my guys were adventurous, they wanted to go snorkeling. They wanted to go snorkeling. So we all got in a boat, and it was sort of a cloudy day. It looks like it was going to rain. And I'm there. We're all suited up, all that gear on. And I got out there, and I noticed that they were going to take us where you couldn't touch the bottom. I said, no thanks. I'll stay in a boat. And the poor Mexican fellas, they thought I was going to give them a bad review or, you know, one star or something like that. So they were pleading with me. I said, no, guys, I won't say anything. I'll give you 5 stars. No matter. Just please, I don't want to get out of the boat. Okay, you can sit here. And the storm came. It was cold. I was shivering. It was gray. It was miserable. Four or five of them, they jumped down into the water with their gear on, and they saw a different world. They didn't see the clouds. They didn't see the rain. They didn't see the fog. They saw multiple colors. They saw the coral. They saw all the bright fish. They took pictures. It was just a different world. What? They put on a whole different part of the glasses. That's what Paul's saying here. If you focus on what you can see, you'll be discouraged. You'll be discouraged. If you focus on what you can't see in the Word of God, you'll maintain encouragement. And like he said, you will not lose heart. We keep going. And all of us have to do this. As we use kingdom glasses, as we look at the world, we look at lives through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Well, your assignment for next week, weather permitting, is to read over chapter 4, particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. This is good stuff, and chapter 5 is even wilder. This is the heart of the gospel message and Christian living. This is really good. Don't want you to miss this. So, well, Lord willing, we'll get into this a little more next week and just enjoy studying the Word of God together. Thank you so much for coming. Father, thank you for the promises. Thank you for the apostle who just modeled this for us with joy. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us. And as we focus in on the cross now, just remind us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, so that we would be super encouraged and just make every moment count. Father, thank you for those here who love you, love your word, love missions. And Father, may we be used by you during this short span of life to make a difference for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.